Hello there, this is Mary DeMuth, and this is Pray Every Day, where I pray through the Bible verse by verse. We are in Hebrews chapter 9 of the Voice Translation, and this is what it says. Even that first covenant had rules and regulations about how to worship and how to set up an earthly sanctuary for God. In the book of Exodus, we read how the tent, the first tent, was set aside for worship. We call it the holy place. How inside it they placed an oil lamp, a table, and the bread that was consecrated to God. Behind a second dividing curtain, there was another tent, which is called the most holy place. In there, they placed the golden incense altar, the golden ark of the covenant. Inside the ark were the golden urn that contained the manna, the miraculous food God gave our ancestors in the desert. Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant that Moses brought down from the mountain. Above the ark were the golden images of heavenly beings of glory who shadowed the mercy seat. I cannot go into greater detail about this now. When all is prepared as it is supposed to be, the priests go back and forth daily into the first tent to carry out the duties described in the law. But once a year, the high priest goes alone into that second tent, the most holy place, with the blood to offer for himself and the unwitting errors of the people. As long as that first tent is standing, the Holy Spirit shows us the way into the most holy place has not yet been revealed to us. That first tent symbolizes the present time when gifts and sacrifices can be offered, but it can't change the heart and conscience of the worshiper. These gifts and sacrifices deal only with the regulations for the body. Food and drink, and various kinds of ritual cleansings necessary until the time comes to make things truly right. When the Anointed One arrived as high priest of the good things that are to come, he entered through a greater and more perfect sanctuary that was not part of the earthly creation made by human hands. He entered once for all time into the most holy place, entering not with the blood of goats or calves or some other prescribed animal, but offering his own blood and thus obtaining redemption for all of us for all time. Think about it. If the blood of bulls or of goats or the sprinkling of ashes from a heifer restores the defiled to bodily cleanliness and wholeness, then how much more powerful is the blood of the Anointed One who, through the Eternal Spirit, offered himself as a spotless sacrifice to God, purifying your conscience from the dead things of the world to the service of the living God. This is why Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. Through his death, he delivered us from the sins that we had built up under the first covenant, and his death has made it possible for all who are called to receive God's promised inheritance. For whenever there is a testament, a will, the death of the one who made it must be confirmed, because a will takes effect only at the death of its maker. It has no validity as long as the maker is still alive. Even the first testament, the first covenant, required blood to be put into action. When Moses had given all the laws of God to the people, he took the blood of calves and goats, water, hyssop, and scarlet wool, and he sprinkled the scroll on all the people, telling them, "This is the blood of the covenant that God has commanded for us." In the same way, he also sprinkled blood upon the sanctuary and upon the vessels used in worship. Under the law, it's almost the case that everything is purified in connection with blood. Without the shedding of blood, sin cannot be forgiven. Since what was given in the Old Covenant was the earthly sketch of the heavenly reality, this was sufficient to cleanse the earthly sanctuary. But in heaven, a more perfect sacrifice was needed. The Anointed One did not enter into a handcrafted sacred space, imperfect copies of heavenly originals, but into heaven itself, where he stands in the presence of God on our behalf. There, he does not offer himself over and over as a sacrifice, as the high priest on earth does when he enters the most holy place each year with blood other than his own, because that would require his repeated suffering since the beginning of the world. No, he has appeared once now at the end of the age to put away sin forever by offering himself as a sacrifice. Just as mortals are appointed to die once and then to experience a judgment, so the Anointed One, our liberating King, was offered once in death to bear the sins of many and will appear a second time, not to deal again with sin, but to rescue those who eagerly await his return. Mind if I pray for you? Lord, this is my desire. I want to be one of those people who eagerly await your return. And I am grateful that you are that great high priest. According to the order of Melchizedek, you have entered the heavenly sanctuary once and for all, making that sacrifice of yourself that does not have to be done again and again and again like when the high priests had to do so. So I thank you that this is a solid hope. I'm standing on it like it's like a rock today. And I know that all those listening today need to know again and again and again and be reminded of this great sacrifice that you made on the cross for our behalf. We can have newness of life. We can be forgiven right now. And I pray for my friend who does not feel forgiven, Lord, that you would convince them through the power of the Holy Spirit within them that the truth is your sacrifice is sufficient, that it is once and for all past, present, future sins, and that you have made a way for them to experience that cleanness and that newness of life. Lord, when we hold our sins over ourselves, it's as if we're saying that your sacrifice was not enough, but it was. So please forgive us even for thinking that. And Lord, you tell us that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and you will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, I pray for my friend who feels like they're under the weight of their sin. It's heavy, it's bulky, it's wet. It's like a damp blanket. They can't shed it. And yet your Holy Spirit has the power to take that blanket off and to allow my friend to skip like a calf in a pasture with freedom. And so I pray for that today. Today is a day of emancipation. It is the day of forgiveness of sins. It is the day of a brand new life. And so, Lord, may we worship you accordingly for all that you've done once and for all and forever. We worship you. We revere you. We bow before you. We humble ourselves before you, that you would exalt us at the proper time. We wait for your appearing, and we love you. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for listening to Pray Every Day. If you want to be prayed for on the prayer episode, you can go to marydemuth.com/pray and record your prayer request. So thank you in advance for doing that. And hey, I just love to pray. So thank you for all of you who do that, because it gives me the opportunity to hear you and to really lift you up. So thanks for all of you who have done that. And I pray that today is a day that you walk forward with just that clean feeling of knowing you are cleansed from your sins. It is a beautiful thing to do. May you dance in light of that.